Luck on Sunday, brought to you by Whirlpool. Bet with the world.
Here we go then. The BHA issued a response to Cheltenham. Now, a lot of that response was quite positive, but the headline, as you can see on the front of the Racing Post today, is Irish jumps domination damaging the sport, BHA chief. And Julie Harrington, you know, setting out quite clearly that this was something that the BHA recognised and wanted to do something about. It's quite unusual, this, I thought, Neil, as an immediate response to the Cheltenham Festival.
I thought it was quite good.
Has she judged the mood music right, do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was good, actually. I quite liked it. I only read it this morning, and I felt like sometimes the BHA are criticised for being a bit sort of, you know, leaden-footed, and it was good that they kind of came out on the front foot. And I sort of feel like, you know, I don't think that it's right to say, oh, we need to make loads of changes to Cheltenham because the Irish are so successful and therefore we want to make them less successful. I just think that, you know, it's about the future of the sport. It's about field sizes, it's about the number of odds-on favourites, the attendances are down, and those are the kind of things that are important about the Irish domination. It's not about making it harder for Willie Mullins to win or anything. I don't know. I thought it was all right, the statement. What did you think?
I thought it didn't need to come out now. I think there needs to be a time when it should have come out 2 or 3 weeks' time and look over the general situation of English racing. Jumping on the back bandwagon of Cheltenham, I didn't feel that was the right time to go and do it. I think there's many more problems in racing than we can possibly understand. And the field sizes are one, but that's just not this week. It's the whole way through the season.
Sure, sure.
And we need to have someone who's going to sit there and perhaps have more understanding of what's going on actually in racing, to have more connection with what actually goes on behind the scenes. You know, people don't who worked in racing on the ground face it don't seem to be anywhere near close to running it. And that's my biggest worry.
If the BHA are noticing this, then, you know, it's up to them now to try and make some changes that are necessary. And one thing, in order to be able to get our owners to want to be with horses here, competitive racing, we need to change the schedule and the race planning. It needs sorting out, and competitive. We need less of it.
I'm not meaning to be provocative, but does this lie at the BHA's feet for needing to create a better race program, or actually, are we just in an era where our trainers, for whatever reason, however good they may be, however brilliant they may be, can't compete with the most dominant force we're ever likely to see in the game?
I think we need to be looking at asking the owners English owners who've got horses in Ireland as to why they've gone there and ground out their reasons as to why they've gone there. Because at the end of they've gone there for a reason, and we need to understand that reason needs stopping.
I actually might have asked Tony Bloom that question, and he said to me the reason he went there is because Willie Mullins is the best. He doesn't really spend a lot of time visiting his horses.
That would be horrifying.
He doesn't spend a lot of time visiting his horses at the stable. And if he goes to racing, it doesn't make much difference to him where it is if he wants to go to a big race. Well,
no
good. So, you know, that's... And I think a lot of these people are quite mobile, aren't they? They can easily, if they want to go... Sorry, go on.
Just a really quick example. Ronnie Bartlett, he's got horses still here, a couple with Nikki, Lucinda Russell, for example. Obviously, horses over in Ireland. Now, try and name me the ones over here. You literally can't. Mm. You think of the horses he's got in Ireland, well, you know, they've been exceptional. They're coming to the festivals, they're doing well. Well, it's going to become more attractive for Ronnie to have the horses over there. But they're running at Leopardstown over Christmas, they're running in the DRF, they're running in Cheltenham in 25 runner fields or the grade ones, and their programme is more competitive and it's more dense, and therefore they have to go for those races. They don't have an option to keep avoiding each other, and if they're good enough, they're going and running in the championship races each time.
OK,
Shorter races.
Let's move on to some of the issues as regards how the public and how the betting public, how the race-going public enjoyed the Cheltenham Festival. Now, it seems de rigueur now, Neil, that after a major festival, you will get a load of bad behaviour, drunkenness, fights being spread all over social media. The question I'd like to ask you is, has anything changed, or is it simply it is now more visible?
OK, well, I went to Cheltenham for about 20 consecutive years, and now I haven't been for 20 years. But I did speak to quite a few people this week about their experiences because I knew I was coming on. The drugs thing is massive. I mean, just everywhere. I was on a train last Saturday. I never get on trains on Saturday. And these two young girls, they were about 20, they were discussing a party they'd had at their house the night before. And they were listing all the drugs that were there. I couldn't believe it. I was really openly as well talking about how much ket they had, and this bloke bought a big bag of coke, and oh, then we got on, and those boys were really funny. They'd never had a spliff before. And like, they were just, they just listed off like 10 drugs. I just think it's more prevalent than it has ever been in society. These issues this week with, there was a guy that got nicked for, I think he assaulted two racecourse staff. They were serious assaults, like properly damaging somebody in the face. There was another incident where somebody spilt someone's drink and, you know, they got it with a big headbutt. These are nasty assaults, you know, and this is the sort of thing that people are, you know, much more likely to get into if they're on drugs.
See, I and a lot of other people noticed that crowd control, so checking your badges, stopping you walking where you needed to walk, was much more intense this year than perhaps it had been before. And it's kind of annoying because one of the great things about Cheltenham before is you could move quite freely everywhere, and that was its big selling point. It wasn't too segregated, it wasn't too enclosure-based. When I hear stuff like this, Kim, you think, well, that's why they've got to police it so much more.
I just want to quickly cut in one more thing, because a friend of mine said, he said, the Guinness Village is one of the nicest places in the world until it suddenly flips. If you go there before racing, it's a great place to meet up, really friendly. He said, by about 3 o'clock, it's like hell. He said, it's very sort of tweedy and lovely and everything, but he said suddenly it goes from Bertie Wooster to Peaky Blinders at 3 p.m.
Interesting, isn't it? Mm.
It is. I'm afraid to say it's a culture where if you go into Cheltenham on a Saturday night, if you go anywhere else, I mean, I've had people say to me they've been to Royal Ascot and it's been so blatant it's ridiculous. And I've had the same comments about Cheltenham. It's something that's taken very normally now, which is very sad.
Ian Renton will be along in a minute, and he and his team, if they took heat about one thing more than any other this week, it was about the car parking situation. Now, the debate was played out quite extensively on ITV between Ed Chamberlain and Richard Hoyles, and then there was quite a bit of media commentary about it. A number of high-profile people who weren't able to get out of the car parks, particularly on Tuesday when it got very wet. I think it's still worth...
By the way, I know I've spoken a real lot. I've got loads to say about car parks. Well, I've got little to say about some of the other things.
I'm going to let Megan have her say, given the fact you were there all week, for all Neil has to say, which we will hear, what's your take on this? I mean, should Cheltenham have been preempting, or is it just one of those things you can't foresee?
Well, I was fortunate. I was there so early, parked on concrete. I haven't had any problems with the car parks, but I've obviously seen it. And I think with the weather this winter, I mean, Cheltenham have said themselves they've had over 100 mil of rain in February. I think it was probably writing was on the walls. It was going to be carnage in the car park. So I would be slightly inclined to be thinking that they probably should have been a bit more prepared for it. And not only that, I think once you're in on the Tuesday and it's had all that rain, and you've sat there with your hazards on for 3 hours waiting for the tractors to come and help you out, that's not brilliant. I think they could have been more prepared for those conditions.
There's a lot of surround sound in this area, isn't there, Kim? It's really hard when you're not in it as a race goer, and when you're doing this job or your job, it's actually quite hard to know who's right and who's wrong on this.
Well, at the end of it, it's a Grade 1 fixture. It's the biggest race meeting of the year. You don't want to be seeing or hearing news like people stuck in car park. I had an owner of mine who went there on Tuesday. They got towed out. They paid 20 quid to go in. They had to pay 30 quid to be towed out. That's wrong to start with. And then when they went back 2 days later and they said, look, we don't want to park there, we got stuck last time, the person just told them, I just suggest you upgrade your car for next year.
That's not ideal. So, yeah, listen, I know the clock's ticking down.
Yeah, OK.
But if this is good, if this is
well,
good...
I think they've been a bit unlucky with the weather. I think if... I'm sure if you ask Ian Renton, he'll tell you that they would...
You can in a minute.
They would really like to just tarmac over all the car parks, but they can't get the planning permission. The local council won't let them do that. I think they'll also tell you that they had 7,000 more cars than were anticipated this year. And part of that... All these things are interconnected. Part of that is rail tickets. You know, I looked up, if you want to go next Tuesday, it was Wednesday, I think I looked up, return from Paddington to Cheltenham, it's 70 quid. It was 160 last Wednesday. The rail company's just blatantly ripping people off and not putting on enough trains. You know, my mate said to me, well, my train got there so that you arrived just in time to be late for the first race.
If you renationalise the railways...
Well, obviously, you should renationalise the railways. That goes without saying. That goes without saying. But I'm not even going to put that in because that's so obvious. It doesn't even need to be said. The efficiency of the market is not solving this problem. But in terms of the car parks, you know, we talk about the hotels a lot. And this is a big factor, you know. It's a huge price, the hotels. Park and ride is a solution that they should be looking at. You know, when we used to go as bookmakers to Cheltenham, we always stayed in Oxford and then we'd drive in from Oxford. But you've got Gloucester, you've got Bristol.
Swindon,
you
know, Cirencester.
Plenty of places around there. If they put on free or very cheap coaches in, they could get a lot of the people in from outside. I understand Cheltenham, but you can't go to the hoteliers and say, oh, do you mind putting your prices down? It's really affecting our crowd numbers. They're not going to do it. But you could, like, increase the supply by saying, I'm going to make all these other places much more interesting options for you now by making the transport in a lot better. And then, instead of having hundreds and hundreds of cars sitting in traffic, you just have dozens and dozens of buses sitting in traffic.
Kim, I'm going to give Neil a prize for actually being the first person I've heard this week come up with a constructive suggestion to Cheltenham, because it's either people going, nothing to see here, move on, or it's people giving them an absolute kicking. And actually, somebody coming up with a decent suggestion
Buses from the station at the moment.
They do, for sure, yeah.
As you rightly say, the trains are very inefficient. They don't run enough. And they were actually, I think, well, again, one of my own said it was 250 good return to go there on Gold Cup Day.
Yeah, very much. And also, they're not express trains. They stop everywhere along the way, and now you miss the first race.
Cheltenham is not the be-all and end-all anybody who lives in London. It's only those who like to go. It's the most important week of the year. You know, we got caught 3 years ago when it suddenly rained on the Wednesday. People were stuck then. The climate's changing, supposedly. You know, we're going to get wetter, we're going to get drier.
No, the climate is changing.
Yes, fine. It's been changing for several millions of years. But at the end of it, we need to be prepared for it. We do not want to see that. You do not want to have situations where people are moaning on public... Social media is now everything. People don't read papers, they read social media. Everybody gets their phone out and the first thing they do is to see what's sent to them by whatever person they follow.
I mean, luckily for Cheltenham, not many people are able to moan about the car parks because the internet reception at Cheltenham was so terrible.
Yeah,
you couldn't get onto social media.
It was shocking this year.
Really bad. Yeah. I mean, people want social media, they want the internet. It's like water these days.
Yeah, if you want to have a bet online, you can't.
Exactly. It's cost the levy.
I just wanted the Racing Post app to make sure my notes were all up to date. That definitely wasn't loading.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of times when I was actually needing to look stuff up, like, you know, who was riding Mon Morale, for example, and the internet was just letting me down. Let's talk about the going description, because on the first day, I think it was still being called, come on, this is your...
It was being called soft, not even soft with heavy patches, I think.
It was heavy, like the first
but one. But it was definitely heavy. I think I wrote it down here. So Tuesday the 12th, 9:30 a.m, 3.7. That's the lowest stick reading on the old course.
Stick virtually disappears, doesn't it?
Yeah, since 2016. Now, in 2018 on the Tuesday, it was 4.4 against 3.7, and that was called heavy soft in places. So it was 0.7 lower than when it was called heavy soft in places, but they didn't call it heavy. Why did they not call it heavy? It's not like nobody could, you know, sometimes people say, oh, well, they lie a bit because they don't want owners to pull out. It's Cheltenham, for God's sake. It's been peeing it down for 2 days. The owners are not going to suddenly pull out on the morning of Tuesday because of the going report.
I don't believe whatever you do is going to be correct on this situation, because we all know what it is. It's just calling it soft, heavy is fine. Calling it heavy, soft, we all know what we're running. We're running on that ground. We all know it's going to be very soft ground. The danger comes when you have the beginning of the end of the season, when it becomes good to firm. That's when the lies come in. Mm. I'm sorry, but, you know, we knew what we were going to expect this week.
I think also it becomes difficult when you're asking the jockeys their opinion as well. The Times were suggesting it was heavy, and then you're asking, for example, Paul Townend after the first, who says it's soft. So then you're listening to a combination of times, jockeys' opinions, and it becomes tricky.
Much heavier ground than Ireland. I've seen to watch Cheltenham much heavier than what it looked this week. But, you know, their drainage is very good. And I said after Chianti Classico won, I said he can't have been that soft for him to actually win as easy as he did. But now
we've got the going stick. Shouldn't it just be called according to the going stick,
the going
not someone's opinion?
It's different in every single race course. It's the texture of the soil that makes the difference. So the going stick only works on one race course. So if you've got your regular going sticks on at Cheltenham, there's simply no point looking at those features on another race course.
You can keep the ball, because I know this is a subject very close to your heart, the early closing nature of a lot of the Cheltenham Festival races and the extent to which races closing early can ultimately impinge on the size of the field. And I know you've got a couple of examples in mind. This is a Bailey bugbear.
It really is a bugbear of mine. I mean, to make entries for what I would call also run races at Cheltenham in January, that, you know, the 4 mile chase, or it's no longer the 4 mile chase, to make an entry for that in January, so far in advance, to me is absolutely stupidity. And you know, the biggest problem we have, we're making entries for horses so far in advance, but you have to ring up the owner and say, do you mind if I make an entry for your horse? And that particular person might not have even been dreaming of Cheltenham. We might think the horse is good enough, and we don't want to tell him, because at the end of it, we want to surprise him later on when he does prove the point. But to do it 2.5 months before the event is just bonkers.
And this is an interesting one, Neil, because the theory will be that it, of course, stimulates an awful lot of anti-post betting interest. Anti-post betting is dead, isn't it?
It's just completely died. And you know, bookmakers don't seem to be interested in taking the bets. And punters, you know, they get so much on the day. You've got best odds guaranteed.
You and I would have done a bazillion of these preview nights, and you're sitting there and the caption comes up, and this is 6 days before the event. Half those horses aren't running in the race is concerned.
Exactly, and, you know, I think it would probably make our lives easier in the respect of, rather than entering a novice in all three, 2 miles, 2.5 miles and 3 miles, the decision is pretty much there, and you might maybe enter them in two, or you just say, right, one entry, we know we're going for the Gallagher Novice, for example, and that's that. It works at Aintree with normal entries. Obviously, I understand the Grand National's an early closer. That's totally understandable. But for all the other races, Aintree just has normal entry.
To be fair, they probably have slightly less kind of... Cheltenham have just got all these intermediate races, and then, you know, you can have mares. Do they go in the championship race or the mares race or whatever? It just makes the decision-making a lot harder for the trainer, I guess.
Not only that, but you're spending an awful lot of owner's money.
You know,
because you've got a horse like, say, Lottie Mouth, you entered the champion hurdle, the mare's hurdle, and you're throwing money like confetti.
And you pretty much know it's going to run in the mares. Constitution Hill was out, and it still ran in the mares, so it was basically wasting money.
Just quickly on that point, and if State Man, Lossie Mouth and Ballyburn all ran in the champion hurdle next year, who would emerge on top? So obviously we're betting with that. Obviously Constitution Hill would beat all of them, we think. But if those three all ran,
would you think Constitution Hill would be odds on? I don't think. I think it would be odds.
No, it would be really interesting. But you know, this year would have been very soft ground. You know, Nicky's always said he's scared of really.
It was just a quick question with a quick
Ballyburn,
answer.
Ballyburn, I'm going to go for him.
Good one,
Ballyburn. If he ran against Lossie Mouth and State Man.
I think Ballyburn, but £7 is a lot to give Lossie Mouth.
I prefer Ballyburn to Lossie Mouth, but I don't know about State Man. State Man's underrated.
Lossie Mouth could have won quite a lot of prize money this year in the champion hurdle. She still won a fair amount in the mayor's hurdle. Is prize money important at the Cheltenham Festival?
Well, it is and it isn't, isn't it? I mean, we've said for years, like, why do people put their horses in the county hurdle and the horses get balloted out of the county hurdle when the Betfair hurdle... There's been years where the Betfair hurdle didn't quite fill and the county hurdle horses were balloted out, which seems crazy when one race is about four times more valuable than the other. This year, it seems to have swung the other way. We had a horse running out of the handicap this week. The Ultima didn't fill. I think one of the other handicaps didn't fill. Maybe owners are starting to wake up and say, well, you know, I love Cheltenham and everything, but 40-odd grand is not enough to win.
But look at, for example, Kelso, the Moor Battle.
Yes, yeah, fantastic. It's unbelievable. They should be applauded, really, for what they're doing.
And that's obviously that Bet365, who also put on a £100,000 handicap.
I'm not bored. I'm actually looking through the paper to look for the prize money for you.
I thought you were checking the jockey on Monreal.
Gwenny May Boy, rated 117. 117. Picked up £51,440 lovely pounds for Dan Skelton's championship bid.
Yeah.
And you know,
that was Uxeter yesterday.
Prize money is incredibly important. But
84 and a half grand for the Midlands National.
But if you haven't got a horse deemed to be good enough to go to Cheltenham, that's where you need to be going.
Do you think a lot of the fact that they didn't feel was, you know, the ground, the weather, just the weather going into the meeting, and just, you know, people just not really having the horses these days?
I think also the fact is that once you go and have a horse enter for Cheltenham, you are pressurised by your owners and owners' friends to make that decision to run, because you only have one chance in a lifetime to have a runner at Cheltenham. And they dream and dream and dream about having a runner at Cheltenham, and that's what they want. I've probably fallen out with more owners over the years with Cheltenham, because at the end of it, it's a bit like you walking into your local garage, buying 20 quid's worth of lottery tickets.
No affordability checks there. Don't worry about that.
Why have you done it? Because there's that hope you might win the lottery or even get some money out of it. So as soon as you have a runner at Cheltenham, there's that hope you might have a winner or a placed horse. And that is the animal, the lion, and the, you know, it's the one area that causes more problems for trainers than any other.
If you had to guess, though, next year, are we going to have this problem again? The handicaps not filling, people get... and because of that, because the prize money needs to go up...
Well, I don't think it's the prize money. It's just the fact that... why do you want to run a horse at Cheltenham? It's going to finish 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
When you can go to Uxeter on Saturday and run a £100,000 race.
Megan, your dad, he's become...
Well, should we seamlessly track
to our last seamlessly, talking point?
Skelton versus Nichols. And that acquisition, that we know where this trainers' championship is won. It's won at Uxeter on Saturday. It's won at Ayr. It's won at Sandown, isn't it?
Hopefully not at Uxeter on Saturday.
Your dad had a winner at Kempton yesterday worth a lot of money.
Yeah, and dad has definitely become one of those trainers who... definitely targets horses more.
He's the absolute king of getting the most money out of each horse, isn't he, really? Of all the UK trainers.
As is Dan, I'm afraid. You know, Dan's done it for Donkey.
Yeah.
He's run horses in four horse races at Ascot just to kick up third prize.
For sure. And, you know, Dan's had an amazing time this season with a lot of big handicap winners or places. But, you know, ultimately, from Dad's point of view, a couple of horses that were a bit disappointing, but he has got a huge team at home who have been targeted specifically to go now to Aintree, to Ayr, to Sandown.
And because he's had a smaller team at Cheltenham, he's going to be stronger at those other meetings.
They're fresher horses. And also, you know, a lot of our horses prefer better ground, and he doesn't want to waste a run at Cheltenham and say, oh, well, we knew that was going to happen because it needs quicker ground anyway. So,
but is that slightly a question of educating the owners to realise that they just know what he's doing because he's been around a long time and he does it every year?
Yeah, and we do have a lot of owners that aren't sort of too worried about Cheltenham being the be-all, end-all. For example, Johnny Delahaye, Delahaye family, they love Ascot. You know, if we could have Pictory running at Ascot instead of in the Ryanair, they'd absolutely take that option.
If you ever get that Ascot Christmas festival everyone keeps banging on about,
I'd love to have that.
Would you?
I think that would... I've had a go at Sir Francis many times about it.
To have well, you're in a position of strength right now.
To have a two-day festival at Ascot would be... I love Ascot as a race course. I think it's one of the best race courses in the country. They're wonderfully well run. If
Sir Francis is watching, by the way, I am available to be invited again to Royal Ascot by you this season, if that's okay with you.
I didn't think Champagne Socialist did him justice.
Equivalent of, and then you would parcel out your Cheltenham horses, you'd run them there. And I know you've got Kempton for 2 days, but you know you could make Ascot such a big race course.
And we'll leave our talking points there. Not where I expected. It is something that we might bring up again during the course of the season.
Luck on Sunday. Brought to you by Whirlpool. Bet with the world.